Terminator, Predator, Star Wars, Terminator 2, Predator 2, Star Wars 2. Are these your favorite movies, but wished it wasn't so long to watch them all together? Well, guess what? We got the Canadian movie just for you. It's called Phobe, and you're listening to
B-Movie Mania!
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Hello and welcome everybody listening out there. This is like we just yelled and you heard Mr. Kaufman say, B-Movie Mania. I am your host, the number one favorite maniac, Michael Hayes. And with me, as always, is Jason Hulls. Chris Hudson. Great, crazy Chris Hudson. Paul Brooks, are you here?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Oh, hello. Thank God, someone's here. I thought I was speaking into a void.
Hold on.
What? What?
I'm opening my beer.
No, that's your... God. That was too much effort.
Sorry.
And also with us, rounding out the normal duo, is very special guest, Ashley Ganske!
Heyo! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here! Be here! B-movie, you guys get it.
I get it. You did a little joke there.
Yes, a little one.
That's good.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Paul.
What is happening? This is a weird episode.
This is a real weird one.
It's crazy.
Just listen, people, the other two guys have family things they're doing, and so that is fine. Just because you and I don't have a family.
You find a guest without a family.
Our guest has no family. This is just a bunch of real cool... I mean, I wouldn't call us phobes, but,
we're not.
We're not scared of other people.
Right.
We're just...
Depends on what kind of phobe you're talking about, I suppose.
That's true. An alien or a racist.
Yeah. But hey, can I tell you this? I'm drinking a Blue Moon Pacific apricot wheat.
Ooh.
And it's delightful. I just want you guys to know that if you're ever in the mood for a Blue Moon, get one of these Pacific apricot wheats because it's delightful.
Are they sponsoring
us
now?
That sounds very summery.
I know that's what it sounded like, but no.
It sounds summery and light.
It does sound summery.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice little, like a little twist on a beer.
But the apricot is very pronounced, and I like it.
Oh. All right. Well, apricots, if you want to sponsor us, the apricot board.
Just the whole fruit.
Yeah,
just the whole
get in here.
Fruit.
Listen, we'll make it well worthwhile. Apricots. That's what's for dinner.
Yes.
Boy, we really need to do some quick takes.
They wouldn't wrap. I don't know.
All right, Paul called it. Let's do quick takes.
Quick takes.
All right, Paul, why don't you give me a quick take?
Oh, yeah, so real scary movie, yeah.
That's delightfully quick.
Because they're Canadian, so.
Yeah, well, too quick for me to think of my quick take. Do you happen to have a quick take?
Delightful. I like the love story.
Yeah.
That's good. I guess if I were to shorten this movie down, I would just say, let's take a nice stroll.
Take a nice stroll.
Just anywhere. In the woods, along the train tracks, through a parking garage, maybe a steel mill. Just walk somewhere, up some stairs. Take a stroll.
Yeah, I think stroll just may have been the working title for the film, and then they added an alien.
this movie's got... It needs something else. I love the strolling, but we need one... It's missing like one thing. What could it be? Huh.
Got it.
What?
We get some like plaster of Paris. Okay. We spend like $8 on it.
Okay. That's most of our budget.
I mean, it'll be fine. Maybe it's $6.
Okay.
And we make an alien head to momentarily and sporadically disrupt the strolling.
Okay, but what? So just a head, like a floating head, like a Zardoz?
No, you can put some sort of vague camouflage net, sort of a large net.
My dad has one in his basement, so we can probably grab that for free.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay.
we're set.
Listen, guys, we have one thing to talk about. It's Dab. Greg Dab.
Yeah.
Dab. Gregory Dab.
I trust you stressed the importance of bringing that thing back alive. It's of no value to me, dead.
Yes. Dab is the right man for the job.
We watched a movie called Phobe. It's a Canadian film made for a cable channel.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there is a subtitle to
I'm
it.
I'm sorry. What is that, Paul?
That would be The Xenophobic Experiments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, as we learn in the film, is what Phobe is short for.
Is that how?
Yes.
Is that how you like to make your nicknames, Paul? Like you pick something right in the middle?
That's what the movie said. I'm just going off what the movie said.
That's fair.
And there's actually like a subtitle in another language. I'm assuming it's the alien language.
Oh, yes, you're right.
I don't know if you caught that. I was like, oh, I don't know that language. I think that may be
a second subtitle.
Yes.
I didn't, you're probably right. Yes.
I don't know what it says.
Why settle on one?
But you know what? I have hope that it says something real great in whatever language.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you were planning on reading the IMDb description or not. You can, but I was also going to suggest I do have the DVD with me here, and I was going to maybe read the back of the box really quick if you want.
Hey, Paul, could you do us a favor and just maybe tell us what this movie's about? Maybe not in your words, but someone else's?
Please.
Yes, absolutely I could. This is interesting. This is interesting. In 1994, aspiring Niagara, Ontario filmmaker Erica Benedicti, I think is that how you say that?
Sounds good.
Was working part-time at a community cable channel. Over the course of a year, and aided by a dedicated team of friends, volunteers, and fellow film rebels, she wrote, produced, directed, and edited a wildly ambitious feature-length sci-fi action thriller for only $250.
Now, did you pronounce it that way because it's Canadian, right?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you got to.
Yeah. Did you do the conversion rate on that for what that would be in American dollars in 1994?
Oh, in 94, I have no... I don't know today either, so no.
180 U.S. dollars in 1994. I did a little research.
Okay, very cool.
So that's what it's about, huh? It's about someone making a movie? Did we watch a documentary?
Yeah, that's really more about the making of it, wasn't it? Sorry.
Yeah, nothing about the actual movie.
I have my phone here if you want me to do the other part, too.
We can make you do it.
Wait, just to clarify, on the back of the box, it says nothing about the actual film?
Well, I didn't read all of it because I started to get scared that I was giving too much away.
Okay.
What is there to give away?
Well, I just didn't, I didn't know if you had things planned because often on this show you have things planned.
Not when I'm running this bad boy. That's like up to you.
That's true. You usually save your facts for when you're not hosting, I suppose.
Well, I hope you have some phobe facts.
I mean, I have phobe facts on the back of the DVD.
So much pressure.
But when she convinced her employers to broadcast the finished film, Phobe became a local sensation, was invited to screen at festivals, and remains one of Canada's most infamous cult hits. Intervision is proud to present Benedicti's ultra-low-budget epic, complete with impressive visual effects. Well, Roman...
Roman candle pyrotechnics. Some of those were just amazing.
I agree.
Alien, I'm going to stop
it's
there.
It's nothing about the movie,
Yeah.
So, this is a sci-fi thriller, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Suspenseful.
There was some horror movie aspects with all that scary forest walking scene.
Oh my goodness.
There was definitely like we're going to put in some creepy vibes. What would that, I don't know if that would necessarily be horror category, but I feel like they stole specific dialogue from horror movies because they didn't.
Yeah,
but what really made that scene scary, and what really makes any scene scary, is a Kors slow pitch sweater.
God damn it, Paul. If I could find that sweater, I would be him for Halloween in a heartbeat.
Oh my God.
Of course.
I tried for the entire 10-minute long scene of them walking to read what was written on the side of that man's sweatpants.
Oh God.
It was just Bengals.
Was it?
Was it?
But it looks like way more letters than that.
It did seem very wordy for just one word.
But if you think about it, Niagara is not that far from Cincinnati, so it could check out.
But Cincinnati?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, but you think he doesn't have, Canadian football pride, at least? He prefers the Bengals?
What, like the Stampede? Who cares?
He had so much Canadian pride in the film where they were wearing, Toronto's, Blue Jay t-shirts. I feel like...
Other Canadian things, probably.
Yeah, I feel like the mullets and the denim alone.
All right, we're having way too much fun.
Yeah. Whoa, no, how dare we? Okay, so this movie.
How dare we?
This movie. All right, how does Phobes start?
A solid in the woods fighting scene.
Fighting, yeah.
With our hero and savior. Gregory Dabb, who actually, do you remember the bully in Boy Meets World? Frankie the Enforcer.
I don't remember him.
There's a bully in Boy Meets World. He had like the spiky hair and he was like big and like a bullyish, but he looked like Dabb, Gregory Dabb.
I'm not, Ashley, I just want to say here, I'm not disputing you on this. However, Gregory Dabb, looks exactly... Google, you guys got a computer there. Google Nasty Boys Jerry Sags.
No! All right,
and you're going to be like, what the fuck? Direct ripoff of Nasty Boy and WWF Tag Team Champion Jerry Sags.
Jerry... Why is his name Jerry Sags? I don't like that.
I like it.
Look at that.
Wrong.
Holy shit. He's got the mullet and everything.
Wrong. I mean,
What is
great.
This?
Holy cow.
Living shit. What is this?
Erica Benedicti was clearly watching some wrestling in the 90s.
He's nasty.
Wow.
Mm hmm.
All right, Paul. Well,
I want you to Google.
Okay.
Frankie the Enforcer.
Okay.
Oh yeah, let's get a side by. You know what? I'll do a graphic of all three next to each other. We'll do a comparison.
Okay. We'll get Frankie the Enforcer here.
Well, maybe I was wrong in my head, but this is what I was envisioning.
I see that picture's more like that.
Does he look like a young Jerry Sags?
No, he looks like a young person who I've seen in other movies. He's gone on to other things.
But I feel like this picture is what I was picturing.
Yeah.
With the spiky,
He's
spiky
got some
hair.
Spiky hair. He's a big boy.
Early season.
Sorry, audience.
Early season, Boy Meets World, Frankie the Enforcer.
Yeah.
But, Frankie had, a heart of gold, just like Dab.
Oh. Yeah, did Sags have a heart of gold?
No. It was a heart of pure garbage.
He was nasty.
Oh, well.
Nasty garbage.
So, this movie starts in these woods. The woods behind your parents' house that you grew up in. Mm-hmm. And you know how your friends would run around behind the trees and pretend to shoot each other with your handguns? That's basically what there was in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a phobe. It's the great monster that Paul described for the film we're making.
Yeah.
And then some people slowly moving through these widespread out trees and then getting killed. And then Dab bazookas the phobe and that's the end. Credits. Credits roll.
The end of the movie?
Yeah, it's done. This really is a romantic phobe.
It really is it's a romance film. Sorry. It is.
It is.
It is. No, okay. It's just, you're not wrong.
I know.
Okay, so Paul, maybe you remember this.
Yeah.
After Dap, Greg Dap, mm-hmm. bazookas the phobe, we jump cut to 4 months later.
Yeah, well, yes, his the love of his life dies in this laser battle.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then 4 months later, he turns in some other dude at, like, the police station or whatever, right?
I think it's supposed to be, but I think it's just, like, the cable counter where you...
Oh, for sure, 100%. Like, most of this movie is just the cable.
Yeah,
like
the cable studio.
Somewhere in the building or outside of the building.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, shit.
We find out that a phobe has escaped and has, like, somehow, like, worked his way into an asteroid belt or something like that.
Yeah.
You see, recently we've been transporting him off their planet to be safely terminated. However, during this process, one of them has managed to escape, stolen one of our ships and flown directly into an asteroid field in Sector 1084.
And I feel like the guy who plays the commander memorized no lines. And
no.
He was like, he's like, you need to feed me one line at a time. I don't care about punctuation.
Oh, are you? Listen, guys, there are outtakes on the DVD
of someone
delivering a line and then someone off camera deliver, like saying, okay, now your next line is this. Like, no one memorized anything.
Anyone memorized anything at all.
I lost a few good men. Even more men were lost in that asteroid.
And we find out that, as I put in my notes, this phobe can fuck. Which is bad.
Yeah, that's not good, because we find out that the phobe has somehow, regenerated its sex organs or something?
Yeah, like reproductive.
And it's out in the galaxy trying to fuck, I guess? I don't know.
It's so baffling, because there's only one of them, but apparently you can still reproduce. Which I guess other organisms have done that.
Yeah.
Right, there's eggs involved.
It lays eggs is what I was getting at. Those eggs are a whole thing.
Right.
So he has no choice.
He's got
to
do
it. But to set out to capture, and this is very important, capture, not kill the phobe.
This is very important.
So that they can bring it back and like study it or whatever to figure out how it's doing that. Something like, it doesn't matter.
None of this matters.
They'd like to know how it's managed to do this. This way we can stop the remaining foes from doing the same thing until they're all safely terminated.
So what you're saying is you want this thing brought back alive? Are you nuts? You know what they can do. You've seen it yourself.
But in case we haven't pointed out already, all of this is taking place on a completely alien planet. This isn't like some future Earth or anything like that. It's like in a far-flung galaxy sort of Star Wars thing.
Yeah, another small planet. Now, it doesn't look different.
No.
Well, that's your opinion.
I mean, I guess I've never been to Canada. Actually, I have.
But wait.
What?
We did forgot to mention the cool cow suit that the commander wears.
Oh, the commander does wear a cow suit.
Is it cool?
It's so cool! What? Come on.
I guess in 94.
It looked like this, like, cool, like, windbreaker suit that was white, and then it had, like, black paint splotches on it. That was cool. That was cool.
So anyway, Dap leaves Commander Cow and lands on Earth. He flies into the back of a house, and then two guys are really confused by it. So they go up to check it out.
Here we go. This is what I want to get to.
All right, Paul, you know what? If you want to get to it, I'm going to let you get to it.
Light it up, Paul.
Jerry and Cora Slowpitch are chilling, watching TV in their house.
Oh.
I could be wrong here, but I'm fairly certain that Jerry, and the reason that I'm calling him Jerry is because that's his real name.
No, Jerry was a name.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Jerry is also the bass player of Gribble Hell, who does the soundtrack.
Yes!
Yes!
So that's why I'm putting that together.
Is it Gribble or
yeah,
Gribbly?
Yeah, it's Gribbly. I think it's Gribbly.
It's G-R-I-B-B-L-E, hell.
Gribble hell. Oh, that's not as fun
for
me.
No, gribbly hell, no.
It's gribbly hell to me was like the funnest
anyway,
thing ever.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
All right.
Jerry and Slowpitch take a stroll in the woods to figure out what in the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, they run into the phobe and they get their asses blown up.
Okay, so that probably took about, what, 30, 45 seconds? Maybe a minute? Two minutes.
I mean, it took me 30 seconds to describe what happens. On screen, it took more like 15 minutes, I think. Yeah. And it's delightful.
Come on, Jer. I don't think this is a good idea right now. Maybe we should come back tomorrow when there's more light.
What's the matter, Tim? You scared?
Not scared. Much.
Don't worry about it. You're just frightened because of that horror movie we just finished watching. Probably nothing out here anyway.
And it is to me, that was very unfortunate because I liked them a lot and would have liked to have seen more of a through thread with them, you know?
They gave me a real Strange Brew vibe, and I really would have liked more of that.
Hard agree on that.
So they die, and then we jump cut to a new character, Jennifer, who is at high school, I guess, I think that she's okay, legally allowed there, I guess?
I don't know. Everyone that was there was about at least 40.
Yeah, it was confusing. Everyone that was in high school.
Did not look like high school students.
Yeah, but you guys got to keep in mind, remember, this came out in 1994, but we're in Canada, so really that translates to like more of a 1988, 89.
Yeah.
And we all know that teenagers in the 80s looked like they were 35, 40 years old.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
You're right. I didn't account for that in my age guess.
And just real quick, like on the DVD, you watch some of the special features. There's like a behind the scenes featurette, like what's it called? The Making of Phobe, all new featurette, where they come back and interview everybody in 2015. What?
No, it just
sounds amazing.
Oh, okay,
it is.
I want to watch it.
But what's great is that, like, they actually don't look all that different. So I think they maybe were pretty young when they were acting in this movie because, like, Tina, who plays Jennifer, you know, doesn't look like she's 65 years old or anything. She looks pretty much the same.
Well, maybe that's from the low-stress living of Niagara Falls, Ontario. They don't live in this country.
So true. God, why don't we live in Canada?
Let's fucking move to Niagara. We'll become friends with Erica, and we'll make
a movie.
Let's make Phobe 2.
Yes, in.
God, it does not sound bad at all.
No, right?
You're pitching a dream.
Already pitched it, and Paul, I didn't even say what I want it to be. We should save the sequel for after that we just talked about the actual movie. But be thinking about your sequel ideas, guys, because I really want to know.
It's burning in my brain.
If we could pull together like $500... Erica still works at the cable place.
You?
So
hell yes.
Shut up. She does not.
We just
yes.
find the address and go like be like, Erica, let's go.
Big
you
fans.
Know?
Yeah. All right. I'm into it. Let's make that Star Wars movie.
Cool.
Okay. So we jump to the high school. There's floppy disks. There's a guy with two of the same color flannel shirts. It's great. So they're going to get beers for a party. That's important, but not really.
Really, the only thing that's important is as after Jennifer starts walking, I guess, home from school. But, I mean, it's weird. She has like a 15-mile walk across train tracks.
Okay, this is where I got really confused. Because I was like, I think that this whole movie was just a play to show how much Canadians walk and how much we don't. I like feel like there are so many scenes with just walking. There's walking through woods in the opening scene. There's walking. There's like a 15-minute walking through woods before Jaren and Slowpitch die. Then Jenny walks for a good, 7 to 10 minutes?
Somewhere in there.
Before. So there's just so much walking. So either they're just showing, promoting how healthy Canadians are.
Yeah, but you know, like zero offense to anyone. it doesn't look like Dap or Jennifer were doing a whole lot of walking prior to shooting the film.
I don't know.
That doesn't stop it from being a propaganda film, which I believe is what Ashley is
right.
implying.
Right. And you know what? We don't know what their heart health is based on their physique.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
They got solid hearts.
Yes.
They walk everywhere.
I mean, they were fighting aliens.
And they were doing it calmly.
Calmly?
They were.
I mean, like, no change in affect. No fear. Nothing.
Greg and Pete said they'd even go to the beer store for us and get a couple cases, if that's okay with you, Jennifer.
Yeah, sure, that'll be great. I could go for drinking some beer tonight.
Paul.
I keep distracted.
What weird thing happens on Jenny's walk home?
She finds what may or may not be interesting rock that could have some sort of value, but is in fact...
Oh, what is it?
A phobe egg.
Oh.
This is an odd-looking rock. What if it has any value?
And fortunately, Sergeant Gregory Dapp shows up. I don't know how or why or how that happened, but he shows up
in the
nick of time to prevent Jennifer from a certain death.
Yeah, she was going to be gone from a little fire spark from the side of the fence post or something.
Yes, the phobe is a master of hitting anything that is metal or wooden or... concrete.
Mm-hmm. Near you. Like, not
right,
a flesh
yeah, near
body.
You. Not if it's on you. Just pew-pew laser and... Pew,
yeah, it's pretty great. So Dap saves her, and then they go to Sarah's house. Oh, I'm sorry, Jennifer's house.
Yes.
Ashley, could you give me a line reading about how her mom reacts to the fact that she has found out that her daughter, her sole child, has been attacked by a creature? Can you be like just a line reading of how she reacts to that?
After the police in that really great costume shows up?
Paul, maybe we do a little role play real quick?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do a little. Police are here. What was the call for?
Yes, my daughter's been attacked.
Oh. Let me come in then.
Okay. Would you like some tea?
Yes. End scene.
That's the whole thing.
I mean, I feel like there may have been less emotion. We were trying to get as little emotion as possible.
I was trying my hardest, but you know what? I'm an emoter.
Yeah, what are we going to do? It's hard to get that deadpan.
I've called Dr. Millis to come and take a look at you. Maybe he can give you something to relax you.
So Paul, if you were to rate this movie on out of 1 out of 100 emotions, where would it go? Like, how much emotion happens in this film?
Like 95, but it's Canadian emotion, you know? It's a different kind of emotion. They have their own unique take on it. It's almost like a Vulcan.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. There's a lot under the surface, more so than Americans, really. They just don't feel the need to show it.
Wow.
It's fair.
That's deep.
It's really good.
Do you have more questions about the house?
No, I don't want to get into the scary fucking bedroom she was in.
Oh, wow.
The Beanie Babies?
No, there was more than Beanie Babies. There was a clown on the swing. There was a giant, like, ventriloquist doll. There was a spot.
Yeah, let's not do it.
It's flat frightening. So then they run away. Dap and Jennifer run away, and the phobe chases them for a while, and we get some sweet pyrotechnics, or just pyro.
Oh, yeah.
It's just more like pyro, really. Yeah. And then they go to a restaurant to get some dinner.
Restaurant sort of slash bar, I guess.
But that's that's really when the love starts.
Yeah, it does.
Slow dancing. Oh. I mean, yes. Mm. That's when the love starts. Canadian
I
love.
I know that for me, nothing says, do you want to dance? Like 8.5 minutes of heart pounding, near-death experience, running through all of town, sheer terror. And then immediately, do you want to dance?
Yes.
Well, Paul, yeah, sure. If you were
dead
sitting...
Dead face.
Dead face.
And I've never seen your eyeballs. Just...
Paul, if you were sitting at this booth, you tell me, if you're sitting at this booth with Dap, Greg Dap, and you heard that sweet beat playing, do you hear that? Paul, do you hear it right now?
Oh, I hear that Gribble Hell going on in the background.
Yeah, you hear that? Boom. you hear this going on right now that we're hearing in the background right now because it was edited in, you tell me you don't want to get up and just grind on that dance floor?
I think I just said nothing sets the mood more than all that heart. Yes, I'm 100% on board.
I'm sorry, I misheard you. I'm very sorry.
You thought I was being sarcastic.
I did, but you were being Canadian sarcastic.
Canadian sarcastic is just genuine.
Yeah. Okay, so they're dancing, Ashley. Now what? God.
So that's when the love started.
Okay.
So that was basically when the movie started for me. Phobe breaks into the restaurant, which is like, what? The Phobe is
sounds like a big fight
everyone
scene.
Everyone in the restaurant was just like, oh my God, it's my dad. It is classic Canadian hunting gear. But they were, but it wasn't. It was an alien. And then they were like, shoot. And they took their guns out, but they were like, we can't shoot in here because we'll make a mess of this restaurant. So then they quickly ran out the back door. And they were like, where do we go now? Where do we go now? And then Gregory Dapp was like, I got this. I have a super sneaky lockpick. And he used his electric lockpick because he is also an alien. But he bleeds yellow blood, and he used his super sneaky lockpick, and he got into the army surplus store. Thanks a lot. There also is a shout out at the end of the movie for that. So then he got into the army surplus, and it was awesome. And then they hid, and he was like, oh my God, I forgot to tell you, we've been carrying around this egg this whole time, and it has a tracking device in it. But don't you worry, I got this really cool tracking scrambler. And then they made this cool buzzing noise, and that means he scrambled the tracking device, and the phone was
scrambled
like,
the egg.
Yeah, he scrambled.
Yeah!
Classic cool. Canadian joke. And then the phone was like, where'd they go? I don't really know. And then, what happened next?
They go to Rob's house.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jennifer, what are you doing here?
Can we use your father's radio?
What? My father's radio? Sure, but why?
It's a long story.
Well, hold on, I'll go get the keys to my father's office.
Now, in this scene, there are some detailed facts that I'd like to maybe do a little bit of a Phobe quiz. All right, Paul?
Yeah.
What is the name of the planet?
Ooh, I love quizzes.
That Dab, Greg Dab, says he is from?
Mubu Mambu or something like that?
No. Ashley, would you like to steal?
I mean, I can read the answer.
Well, you spoiled the magic here. I was going to really just ask Paul these hard questions, and then you were going to seem like a real smarty pants.
Cool. Mandora.
I was close.
You had an M. Paul?
Yeah.
Can you recite the test tube number that Dab Greg Tab was born from?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
2013257 2
My God, how did you memorize that?
It's pretty. It's wow. Gotta. Yeah, you know.
Holy.
Good, all right. Good.
Cow.
Good job, Paul. Okay, now for all the marbles, Paul, all the space marbles. Can you name Dab? Greg Dab's space number?
Oh, yeah.
Because he had a space number.
He had a space number.
I mean, everybody has a space number.
2221042
That is the right number of numbers.
Yep.
But Ashley, could you go for it?
To correct you, it is 266-3822.
Oh, I
Well, Paul, I'm sorry. You've lost this round of Phobe Quiz. Phobe Quiz.
Phobe Quiz. Dang it. Hopefully there'll be another one.
There won't.
Well, you had your chance.
So then they hear a noise. Paul, how does Greg react? Do you recall? This is not a quiz. It's not a Phobe quiz. This is just a question.
Well, how does he react calmly would be my guess.
Yeah, yeah. He has a weapon. He has a special weapon he goes hunting for the Phobe with.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy.
There's no other way to say it. He busts out a lightsaber.
Yeah, baby!
And it's a thing. It happens. It's real world canon. It's a real lightsaber. And it's sweet. And
oh shit.
Look. We're going to get into this at some point. I don't know if you want me to hold off or if you just want me to do it now.
Rip the Band-Aid.
You got the extra added bonus effects?
Well, yeah, I have. I don't know if you guys picked up on this or not, but they did redo a lot of the visual effects for the re-release, for the 2015 re-release of this film, and it bugs the shit out of me.
Right. Fair.
I enjoyed this movie, but anytime I saw a visual effect that I could tell didn't fit in with the time period, it takes me out a little bit. And what's really disappointing to me is that when you compare it, again, on the DVD here, to the original 1994 effects, it's like, you know, George Lucas syndrome. Just leave it alone. Paul, that's my opinion.
Speaking of Paul, do you think that they legally had to take George Lucas's idea of remaking, doing a special edition, if you will, because George Lucas, I'm going to say it, Ashley.
Do it.
Stole the idea of having a Jedi with a mullet in the prequels.
Obi-Wan has a mullet? Is that right?
Yeah, I think he saw this and he said,
women know how to do things better.
Yeah, they do. And George Lucas just said, fuck it, I'm taking it, it's mine, I'm a white man.
And I'm George Lucas, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And no one did anything.
Someone should have put him in a corner.
And he's like, Erica's in Canada, what is she going to do?
Yeah. So
I'm sorry to argue with that, Mike. It's hard to argue with that logic.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. So the lightsaber gets shown, Rob gets hurt, the phobe kidnaps Jennifer, jump cut steel mill chase, let's go.
Yes. Oh, wait, cut this part out if it's not at this point yet, but have we gotten to the scene where Dap explains his glasses and his eyes?
No, Paul.
No, this is it.
Don't have cut this out. So I hope we're hearing all of this. He explains this. No, Paul, don't cut this. Deb explains it. What about it? What about his glasses? In fact, we haven't talked about his glasses.
Well, this is the best part of the movie. He's been wearing these sweet, sweet Bret Hart, the hitman Bret Hart glasses, who is from Canada, so that checks out. He's from Calgary, but close enough.
Sure.
He is an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And
bleeds yellow.
There's ultraviolet, more rays that make, I don't know, someone help me.
The sun is, it's something about like the
ultraviolet.
Yeah, ultraviolet rays like are sensitive and they turn his eye, they glow yellow.
I couldn't help you there, sorry.
Well, my eyes aren't sensitive to light. It's just that the ultraviolet rays here are more intense than on my planet. Thus, it causes a chemical reaction, and my eyes, well, they glow yellow.
Glow? Really? Can we see?
Yeah. Okay.
I guess he's just embarrassed that his eyes glow?
Yeah, they don't seem to hurt, because if Jennifer is like, can I see? Ooh! Like, it's the most emotion in the entire film she shows. And
she's like, that's cool.
And yeah, like, he's like, yeah, sure.
Let me see. And then he does it, and it seems fine. He doesn't, like, scream or anything. And then he goes and shows his lightsaber off, but doesn't attack anyone.
But then he, like, walks through, like, a couple, like, dark hallways, and his eyes are glowing yellow.
Yeah, it's badass.
It's totally sweet. Totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. So they go to the steel mill.
Finally.
So he walks around the steel mill, goes up some stairs for a while. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then then he finds Jennifer back behind some boxes, empty boxes that used to hold beta tapes.
Mm-hmm. Did we skip the part where she gets kidnapped?
No, I mentioned it, I think.
Okay.
No, I did, but then I think we had to jump back.
Paul, cut that part out.
No, Paul, leave it in. So he finds Jennifer behind some 3/4-inch box tape, whatever, Phillips tapes. It's obviously in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they run through the steel mill because the phobe found them again.
Yeah. This is the climax, really, isn't it? Kind of.
I mean, a Canadian climax, yeah.
Oh, I hope to one day experience a Canadian climax.
Oh, God,
don't
no.
Don't we all?
Oh,
wow. Don't we all?
We do. We all do.
Anyway.
I don't remember what happens. It's just sort of thing.
They fight. They got, for some reason, the
what?
Lightsaber.
You don't remember Uh-oh. Gregory Dapp riding on a steel floating through the air like the hero he is?
Yeah, that was pretty epic. You're right.
What? There's that was like, amazing.
For the listener, let me describe. There's a crane that Jennifer gets.
But is it really like a full crane?
Wow.
It's like this like very slow moving, like it's like a magnet. And I think they move like big pieces of steel on, but it moves like at the speed of snail.
Yeah.
And he rides it like across the sky. It's amazing.
Oh, pretty great.
It's so good. It's there's a fight with pipes because their lightsabers are broken or something. I don't know. And then yeah.
He like the phobe like throws a gun, which is basically like a super soaker wrapped in like
gauze or something.
Yeah, and he like tosses it, and then he's like, I have no more gun, so I pick up a steel pipe, and then they have this great epic battle, and then he gets, eventually, Jen saves the day to save her love.
Yes.
And then she, by just basically chaotically moving levers on this like magnet thing.
It's like,
I don't really
minutes.
Know what's happening. I don't really know. And then the steel thing, the magnet hits the phobe, and he's like, I don't know what happened. And then Gregory rides it across the sky like the hero he is and tosses a Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Like ghost catcher.
Yeah.
Towards the phobe. And he's like, and then he hits basically a car alarm and the Ghostbusters thing zaps the phobe.
End of movie credits.
Ta-da. No.
You would think. You would think that that would be it.
Oh.
But it's not.
What keeps me from the credits?
As set up in Act 1, there are some suits who have a vested interest in the outcome of capturing the phobe. And you hear a rumble, and you start to see some sort of space nacelles start coming down from the sky. And it's hyper-realistic and cool.
Yeah.
And
so
they
good.
Land at the steel mill, yeah. And all of the cow guy, cow suit guy, and all the you know, the higher ups get off of this alien craft to pick up the captured phobe.
Nice work, Greg. I know you can do the job.
Yeah, I barely pulled this one off. So why are you here anyways? All I needed was a simple ship to get out of here.
Nice job, Mr. Depp. I believe you deserve a bonus for finding the egg as well.
There is a pretty clever little twist going on right here.
About the spaceship?
Yeah, it's not actually a super big spaceship, it turns out. And I don't know how they pulled this off.
It's amazing.
It definitely wasn't wobbling and blowing in the wind
Wait
as
minute,
it was
guys.
Sitting on the ground.
Wait a minute, guys. What are you guys talking about?
Well,
that was an amazing spaceship.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
That was an amazing special effect.
Well-crafted.
And I have to assume that at least $25 of the budget went into this spacecraft.
Minimum.
Yeah, you think that much?
We'll go 15 to 20.
Based on the ending credits of how many things were donated, I think the whole budget went into that beautiful spacecraft. What are you talking about?
They actually, at some point on the DVD, say that a lot of the budget went to, like, the Roman candles and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Now I will say, okay, so all joking aside,
right.
They make a small model spaceship, which honestly, while very simple, it doesn't look that bad. Like, for
oh,
what
no,
it
it's
is.
Good.
For right. what it is. But they force perspective it, and
right.
I think it's obvious, but it's pretty good for what they do with it. Like, the bottom part ends up being in the screen, and then people walk out of the legs because they're, like, positioned behind it far enough away, and the perspective makes it look really big.
Right.
And it is, I mean, it's obviously there. It, like, floats a little bit. Like, it's not perfectly permanent. But for what it is, like, someone had the foresight to be like, let's fucking do it this way. And it's
right.
pretty good. I mean,
yeah, I was impressed that they got everything in focus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Totally.
But then there is, you know, they get onto this planet, and there is, you know, sort of this little bit of a twist ending here.
I see your commander didn't tell you. Probably a wise move on his part. I am the one that hired you.
I don't understand. You hired me for what?
To bring me my phobe, of course. I own them now.
Okay, so the twist ending of this movie is you think it's over. He's got the phobe, and then his, like, his boss comes down, and you're like, all right, sweet, we're going to get out of here. I'm going home. Later, Jennifer. Love you always. Kisses.
He was never leaver, but
anyway. But what ends up being the case is, as Paul mentioned earlier, set up in Act 1, the corporation that it owns or has purchased this mission wants the phobe alive, and all this stuff's going on. And so Jennifer's like, my only chance is the phobe. And so she pushes a button. She's got the controls now. Pushes the button. The phobe comes out, like reverse Ghostbusters, and then comes out. And then eventually there's a little fight. He kills the corporate guy. Mm-hmm. And then Dab, Gregory Dab, becomes friends with the phobe and lets him fly away in the spaceship.
Okay, this is what we need to talk about.
What
the hell?
Right.
Oh, well, I could tell you what the hell, but it's not going to make any more sense.
Let me get your guys' opinion on this. We don't know, or do we, that is this the same phobe that killed the love of his life?
Oh, no. Well, I guess we don't know, because at the beginning scene where he shoots that sweet-ass bazooka, Chris Hudson, come at me, we don't know if it kills him. He shoots it, and it cuts to 4 months later, right? So we don't see that he killed it, technically.
But either way, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that he basically tells the phobe, he says, the ship is yours. Get out of here.
Craft's yours. Take it.
I guess just don't question it too much.
It doesn't make sense. He gives the phobe, this murderous beast, apparently, that the entire civilization is trying to kill.
Right.
And they're upset that one's alive.
The good part about this, and I'm sure Ashley's very happy about this.
Thrilled. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Now, well, you know what? You say it. Go for it.
That they walk away with their arms around each other.
Yeah, I mean, our hero, Sergeant Gregory Dapp, has no choice but to
remain on Earth.
Remain on Earth and shack up with his sweetheart, Jennifer.
The high school student?
Well, we don't know how old he is.
It is his high school sweetheart. Now, she is just mainly, she's just in high school, and he's her sweetheart or whatever. Right. So
they walk away with, he has his arm around her.
Yeah.
Which is the most physical contact they've had.
Well, they did do a slow dance to that really good song.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about the slow dance. Yeah. That was the start of their love.
Mm.
Either way, very happy ending.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Totally.
Not so much of a happy ending for John Rubik.
It is him. I was trying to look this up. I wasn't sure if it was him or his son, which both would have been tragic, but
yeah, it was killed in a car crash in 2003.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
He played our hero.
Well, I'm having a drink.
Yeah, drink for John. Everyone on the behind-the-scenes featurette had nothing but good things to say about him. He was sort of like the guy of the group who brought everybody together that everybody sort of always rallied around.
Yeah.
So it was really tough for everybody to lose him.
I have no doubt that everyone involved in this film was just like the nicest, sweetest people. Like, there's no way anyone in this movie was a dick in this. It was so good. Like,
correct.
Even when you read like the way they even did the credits, they seemed like such fun people.
Yeah. I completely agree, and I say again, why do we live in America?
Ugh.
All right, we're coming.
We're on our way.
We're coming, Erica.
Erica,
we're coming.
We're coming for you.
We're making Phobe 2. Speaking of, has anyone got any great ideas for a sequel? Because I got one, but I'll let, if anyone's got one, I want to hear it.
No, I'd love to hear yours, Mike.
All right, I'll start with mine. Mine is, and we didn't get too much into it, but there's a real creepy bedroom in Sarah's house.
I mean,
is that yours too? Did you want a Toy Story version of that room?
Oh, no, but that's amazing.
Okay, so that's what I want. I want a Toy Story, the animals, the weird stuffed animals come to life, and then they have to deal with, like, the story's the same, effectively, like, but it's also, but, like, for kids who like creepy things. I don't know.
Fair.
That's what I want. I want like a spinoff of sorts. What do you got, Ashley?
I wanted a prequel of Jen, her tale of collecting each item. So it was more of like a short, like short stories of how she collected each of the items in her bedroom. From like the windowsill of like figurines to the clowns to the like two weird masks. I wanted like each collection item because I feel like there's a story behind each thing. And I feel like I wanted to know each thing, and I felt like it could tie into like space travel.
What if the end of that, you find out that she has a doll of Dap Greg Dap, and that's actually just part of the whole story of her collection.
Right. She just is collecting.
Oh, yeah. Or what if she turned Dap into a doll?
Yes!
Holy shit, Paul!
She's actually like some sort of creepy witch.
Yeah, she's like a voodoo woman.
Yes.
Oh my God.
All right, I got mine, you guys.
What do you got?
All right, so in the sequel to Phobe, the Phobe himself eventually goes back to, you know, his home planet. There's a war that breaks out between his people. You know, it's been ongoing for a long time, really. He realizes that the only people who can bring peace to that section of the galaxy are Jennifer and Dap. So he has to go back to Earth to retrieve them to go on one more mission to come, you know, bring peace to everything. I know what you're thinking. John Rubik died, so what's going to happen? That's why you called Jerry Sags to reprise the role.
Yes. Yeah.
And there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
You set.
Love it.
Or, you call Tina, get her back on board. Anybody can play the Phobe, you know?
What if, I mean, we take it to the next step and, like, we honor the death and we have it be Jen and
their son,
who is a hybrid alien human
Holy shit!
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Well, he can be played by Jerry Sags,
right?
Yeah, he can still do it. Yeah,
we don't have to remove that.
No, it's all fair.
But he could be the hybrid alien baby.
Erica, we are coming for you.
We're coming, ready. Erica.
Rating time.
I've thought about this long and hard, guys, about what we need to rate this as.
I've been wondering about this.
It comes down to what?
How about yellow eyes that turn...
No,
that
okay, Hudson.
Ultraviolet light.
Okay, Hudson. I don't know. I'm assuming Chris Hudson texted you and said you to fucking say something stupid like that, Paul. I get it. Anyway. Personally, my first instinct is really to do 1 out of 100 Gribbly Hells.
Well, what's your... Did you have another option?
Okay, fuck it, Paul. It's that, or it's 1 out of 100 266-3822s.
Well, per usual, we have the option, okay?
All right. Paul, why don't you go first?
Yeah. Look, it's a delightful little film. It's the type of thing where it's just so... It's really hard not to like because you can tell that it was just a labor of love. You know, it literally cost $250. They're Canadian. They're so nice. How are you going to not like this movie? It's impossible. So I had a fun time watching it, even if it was a little slow in places. I mean, there's definitely spots where you're just like, oh my God, come on. Stop strolling so much. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my previous mentioned... effects that I would love to see the original version of this movie. I would love that so much. So I feel like I kind of need to deduct a couple of points for the unnecessary redone effects. I mean, they were well done, but I prefer the original having seen them. So with all of that being said... I'm going to go 78. What is it?
266-3822.
266-3822s, and there's a dash in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's okay. Fair.
Fair, fair, fair.
fair.
All right, Ashley, how about you?
Well, so I enjoyed this film so much, and I will agree with you that it just was such a labor of love. You could tell that just so much love was put into every aspect of it. From like, you were like, you could tell that teamwork was built into it, which mm-hmm, made me feel mm-hmm. just like warm and fuzzy on the inside. And I do love that they literally tied in like every film genre possible, from like sci-fi to horror movie to romance. So that for me is a bonus. I'm going to have to deduct a few points due to, because I wish the romance storyline, as much as I think that it was solid.
I wanted more
from them. So
did you want more physical contact? Is that what it is?
No, I feel like the physical contact, you know what, they just got to know each other. They just met each other and they're in high school, or she's in high school, so I'm not asking for much. There was a lot left unspoken between the two of them. So I'm going to give it 80 out of 100 Gribbly Hells.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well, I guess this means I have to, yeah. Paul, you mentioned the redone special effects and how you don't like that. I understand that very much. I want to see those originals. But let me tell you, I really like the juxtaposition. When you see a spaceship come down and suddenly the bottom half of your screen freezes and then the spaceship goes behind that half of the screen, it's kind of amazing. It's kind of almost life-changing in my idea. So I'm really into seeing the rest of that, Paul, so I'd love to sit down with you, watch some of those bonus features, see what's going on.
For sure.
So if you don't like that stuff, don't take my rating for what it is. I'm going to do 85.
Nice.
Gribbly Hells.
Of course.
Oh, shit.
You like this movie. I think it would be worth it for you to just pick up the DVD. You would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Intervision always puts out good stuff. I have plenty of their releases, and this is a well-put-together DVD because, you know, there's a lot of bonus features because, again, the filmmakers care, and they wanted to, like, do a retrospective and all those things.
No doubt. In fact, I'm sure that's on Amazon, right? So I can. We'll put a link in the thing, and you can click on that link, and we'll make it easy for you. And please do click through that link because we get a little cutback if you use our links to Amazon because we're an affiliate. It's a whole thing. So please do that. Now
you guys are fancy.
Now what we need to do is mention the fact that Ashley has been fucking great talking about this movie with us.
Thanks and, for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, well, it's been really fun. Ashley, do you have any sort of like plug situation you'd like to throw out?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a podcast that's not nearly as fun as
this.
Come on now.
It's called Love, Hate, and Big Opinions on the Issues That Matter Least. So that's fun.
It really is.
My friend and I, Liz, chat about literally the most minute of topics, and we find things that we have strong opinions on with a bunch of guests around Chicago, comedians and all kinds of people of the sort. Different. We have had poets and...
You guys always have a great lineup. I'm jealous. We need to like tap into your lineup to get guests on here.
Yeah.
And where can we find, if somebody wanted to track down that podcast, where should they go?
We are at iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and lovehatepodcast.com.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks
much appreciated.
Thanks for having me. Oh my gosh, this was so much fun.
Go find Love Hate first. Subscribe to that. Get into that. And then find B-Movie Mania. Also subscribe, please.
Reverse. Do the
reverse. Leave reviews for both, please. Please leave reviews. Yeah. It's all good. Mm-hmm. And then, check in. Check in for next week because...
Well, I can tell you, I'm really glad that they got Jerry Sags from the Nasty Boys tag team in the 80s.
Bret Hart sunglasses.
Jay? Chris?
I think everyone who's ever seen that movie enjoys old school wrestling.
You guys hearing this? Paul? Ashley, you guys?
Hello?
Well, I have no idea what that was, folks, but I guess I'll try to decode that transmission and whatever that was, and whatever comes up, we'll put it up on Thursday here for a little bonus content. Maybe it's Jade giving us a heads up on what's coming up next. Hopefully so. If not, we'll figure it out. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Buy a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, buy a t-shirt. We have amazing new t-shirts that have our faces on them drawn by a man who makes us all look real gross. Except, Paul, you look kind of handsome in that t-shirt.
I think Johnny has a crush on me.
Yeah, fuck Johnny. Anyway.
I love romance.
Anyway, yeah, check us out. There's a link on our, we're on Store Envy, but there's a link on our website. Check it out. And shirts are great. Love everybody. Bye. You already stopped recording, Paul?